You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chevrolet. Right now, you can save up to $25,000 off the remaining Chevrolet sports cars. 2017 Corvette Z06 and 2017 and 18 Corvettes and Camaros. Only right now at LakewoodChev.com. Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, we were discussing Anton Slepyshev earlier in the show. Where do you see him fitting in? Does he get re-signed? What do you think happens to Slepyshev?
Oh, boy. What happens to Slepyshev? I think he'll... Okay, well, they signed Ratty. I think a little bit of it has to do with whether or not they find somebody that can play right wing, potentially on the top couple of lines. I heard you and Strady talking about that earlier today. We've talked about it lots. I think there's no rush to figure out what's going to happen with Anton Slepyshev. I think they need to see what the lineup looks like. You know, I wonder with Zach Cassian at the dollar figure he's at, if... you know, they aren't going to, like he's a pretty expensive fourth liner, right? Almost a couple million bucks. So I wonder what that looks like. There's a bunch of stuff, I think, that has to fall into place before the answer to that question can be given. My best guess is they give him one more look-see, and he comes in, but without intentions of him being a top few right winger. I think he needs to be a depth player. So I would suspect he gets another look, but there's a lot of stuff that has to happen between now and that happening, I think.
Well, I think if they're going to get a right winger veteran, it's probably in free agency. So that would happen after. I guess they could just qualify him, but they qualify him for $875. I'm not sure they want to qualify him for that high. So I'll be interested to see what happens. Like, to me, they lost Eero Pakarainen. Right. So could you just re-sign Slepyshev and say, okay, he's our guy that at the start of the year we think is going to be our extra forward competing for a spot, and that's an upgrade over Pakarainen?
Well, and don't forget they added Pontus Aberg. So now that's another right winger who, I mean, they're basically both right wingers that don't have that well-rounded a game, that aren't penalty killers, that can't really... if they're not producing, they're not really doing a lot for you. So between the two of those guys, do you really want those guys being two of your four or five right wingers? I mean, it feels like they're kind of the same thing, doesn't it? Do they need Slepyshev now that they have Pontus Aberg under contract at $650?
Valid question. But what is Pontus Aberg any better than Slepyshev?
Well, no, but he's cheaper. He's already signed at $650. You've got Ty Ratty at $800, right? So then you've got Puljujarvi, who will be around. I mean, you've got, Draisaitl, who can play the right side. Strom could play the right side. I think they're going to look to add a guy. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a lock that he has to be back. And I think that the trade for Pontus Aberg may be... I mean, I know Pakarainen's already gone, and maybe that's the spot that he takes. But I don't know that you want both Aberg. How are we saying it, by the way?
It's Aberg, actually. Like Aberg, is Canadian.
Sorry, I also remember that, Aberg. So I don't know if you want both Aberg and Slepyshev at the same time. I feel like that's too much of guys that might not give you very much.
And that's fair, right? That's why having too much of one thing isn't necessarily good, although... To me, the Oilers just aren't in a situation, I think, to give up on 23-year-old assets who've only played 100 NHL games and think, because, you know, we've seen lots of guys who just, like, look at Jujhar Kerr. This time last year, no one in their right mind was expecting him to do what he did, right? And you look at Slepyshev, and he's a guy who possibly could, if he comes into camp healthy, right, maybe his season's totally different. So that's why I would still give him a look because, you know, Pontus Aberg and Slepyshev, you kind of have two wild cards, sure, but you're looking to say, okay, you know, maybe there's room for one of them, but if one of them pans out, and right now I'm not sure which one is necessarily better.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with paying your top few forwards in the American Hockey League, right? Like if they go down there and they're playing lots of minutes, I mean, quite often the top American League forwards in each organization are making a pretty good dollar and the times NHL money. So yeah, maybe they compete for a spot. Maybe you only have one of them on your team and the other guys in the American League. That could very well be the way it goes, but I couldn't see both those guys being on the NHL roster at the same time next season, unless there's a dramatic step forward taken by at least one of them. Ratty changed the equation for that whole thing as well, I think, with what he did late in the season with the contract that he earned. He changed the equation for Slepyshev and for Aberg, you know, both of them, and frankly, for Pakarinen as well.
Yeah, Pakarinen for sure. And, you know, and no one's a guarantee. There's still question marks, which is why, to me, they desperately need a white, a proven veteran without question on the right side, because right now they have a lot. And the other thing is, if the owners only qualify Slepyshev, I think he might just sign in the KHL, right? Like the KHL is a, although when I, and I talked to Anton and I appreciate it, he was very blunt and honest. He goes, I can go to the KHL when I'm older. I know it's always going to be there. So he doesn't really want to leave right now.
Yeah.
But he also talked about, you know, if he's in Edmonton, like he wants an opportunity. And I basically was saying he didn't feel like he necessarily got the best opportunity this year. Whether or not that's fair, That's how he felt at times.
Yeah. And you know, looking, like I mentioned Cassian a little bit earlier, but at $1.95 million, can he just be a fourth liner and a penalty killer for you? Are you okay at that dollar figure for a fourth line player? Or do they need to maybe challenge Cassian to try and play him a little bit higher? That's kind of second line, or sorry, third line type money. Do they push him to maybe play a little bit higher in the lineup and get more for what they're paying him? I don't know if he can or not. I mean, he skates well. He can kill penalties. He can do different things for them. But at 1.95, that's heavy for a fourth line player.
Yeah, and that's fair. So I think that's probably why you need a cheap guy somewhere else. And then you look that the money all works out. But yeah, I think that's definitely something that's a little bit of a concern there. No question. Now, the second round playoffs, I announced it earlier on when they're going to start Thursday, two games, Friday, one game on Saturday. Which series intrigues you the most and why?
Got to be Winnipeg-Nashville, isn't it? I mean, they're both fantastic teams. And they played a couple of regular season games that were all, I mean, they might be the best games of the regular season all year. So I would say that one tops on my list as far as, you know, if I were to only be able to watch one, I would probably want to watch that one. I mean, Pittsburgh and Washington is going to be tons of fun. It always is. Crosby, Ovechkin, those two tenders going toe-to-toe. But it's a shame in my mind that the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators have to meet at this point in the playoffs, because I think they're two of the best teams in the league, and I think it's going to be a great series.
Yeah, and that's fair. How much better are they than Vegas? Realistically, like, because if you went through the, you know, be Vegas and Winnipeg, right? Like, would it be that much easier of a series?
No, and I think that would be a great series too. So it's not a travesty. It's just, and Vegas was so good and so consistent all year, and they're just a great story. I think that Winnipeg and Nashville will feel like a powerhouse type series. I think both those teams are so deep. They're so good. They've got such good players at a bunch of different positions. You know, the blue lines are both excellent. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Vegas is right in there with them. I mean, three really good teams from the West, and Vegas is right in there with them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think we're going to see a bunch of – I don't think it's going to be a quick series. I think those two teams are going to absolutely beat the crap out of each other, and I think it's going to go six or seven games.
What about the Sharks?
Yeah, they might be sneaky, hey? They might be sneaky. I mean, Vegas is probably a little faster, younger legs. They're riding a real solid wave. If anybody could step in and put an end to them, I wonder if it isn't a veteran team like the San Jose Sharks that have been in a bunch of different situations with some of their core players. Vlasic and Burns is one of the best tandems or best couple of defensemen around. Vlasic, probably the most underrated defenseman there is. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know that it'll be as exciting a series as the other one, but I mean, I'm not picking against Vegas. I'm just not doing it. Like, you just continue to look silly if you pick against Vegas. They've made everybody look silly all year long, so I'll go with Vegas in the series. Very interested to see, though, if Nashville or if San Jose isn't that right mix that can put the stop sign up for all this momentum that Vegas seems to always have going for it.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Schauger, the Oilers coaching staff, there's lots of, you know, discussions. You know, Yanni's out there, Gullitson. You know, I always felt that the one thing they would look at for a coaching staff this year would be to add a guy who used to be a head coach. Now, that was before Galton got fired. I'm not saying Galton's the necessary right answer or not, but I think it would be nice to have a different voice that McClellan hasn't worked with. I heard some people saying, well, just replace Yanni with McClain and away you go. And I'm not sure. To me, that's not – I think they need an outside voice who hasn't worked with McClellan before. I just think it's good. The game evolves. Lots change, and a new voice isn't a bad thing. What do you think?
So you're saying that Yanni might not be the best option because he's another he's got lots of experience with Todd and isn't a fresh voice in McClellan's coaching world?
No, if you bring Yanni in, then you have to bring someone else in that hasn't worked with him. I wouldn't go back to Yanni and Woodcroft and McClellan because they've been a staff before. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And there might be an opportunity here for the Oilers. If you look at Glenn Gullitson, I think there's a real good chance he ends up an assistant coach before he has another opportunity to be a head coach. That's what happened last time he got fired as a head coach. He ended up being an assistant in Vancouver and earning that opportunity. And I don't know that there'll be a head coaching job out there for him at the NHL level. So I think he probably is looking for a high caliber assistance job. And you're looking to go somewhere and win something in that position. You need to go somewhere and be part of a winning staff that has success to make yourself attractive again to get that opportunity. So could the Oilers get both of these guys? Could they get Yanni and could they get Gullitson? I don't know. I don't have any inside information, but you've got Yanni that has experience, real players coach. Players always speak very highly of him, had a penalty kill that was very good. You got Gullitson, who's been a head coach recently. He and McClellan obviously have a good relationship. And there's a real opportunity here for the Oilers to add some high-caliber coaches to their staff. So it's about the money they want to spend, the number of positions that are available. I mean, you could keep Jay Woodcroft on the staff if Ian Herbers ends up moving on, maybe going back to the U of A. Jimmy Johnson moves on. There's two spots. Now, there's not a ton of room on that bench, and that gets a little tricky. But the Oilers have an opportunity with a couple pretty high-caliber candidates. And as we've talked about before, assistant coaching jobs at Edmonton should be sought after because the chance to get in there with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl and this group that they have is a chance to accomplish some stuff, potentially.
What about Dave Tippett? Do you think he would want to be an assistant?
No, I don't think so. I think Dave Tippett is I think he's a head coach. I think he's got the cachet to step right back in as a head coach. He was even dabbling a little bit on the management side of things. I would be very surprised. Perhaps an associate somewhere.
Yeah.
As you go in as basically the 1B, maybe that's a situation that could potentially work. But then you're going into a position undermining the head coach, right? You go in as the next guy in case the season doesn't start well and 25 games in it's not going well, you're a ready-made solution sitting there. So those situations can be very tricky as well. But I would view Tippett as a little too high caliber to come in as an assistant coach.
Jogger, good stuff, man. Well, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday evening.
All right, you too, buddy. Enjoy the weather.